Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info.
Now let's get this show started.
All right, guys, it's Takeover Tuesday here on the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast on the Paddle and Fin Network. Let's do this.
Welcome to a special edition of the Rusty Hook Podcast, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. 1 hour of straight talk regarding tournament news, angler profiles, gear reviews, and more. Now let's get our show started by joining with John Rapp, our host.
Hey guys, welcome to Tuesday Night Special. I've got a great guest with me tonight. I'm going to bring him on here in just a second. That'd be Tim Isaacs from West Virginia. A lot of you guys nationwide may know Tim. He fishes Hobie, KBF, Bassmasters. He travels. He's fishing every weekend somewhere, not in West Virginia normally. He's a traveling man. Matter of fact, when I reached out to Tim earlier tonight, just found out that he got called back to work and he is living in a motel in God's out in the middle of God's country, West Virginia, doing God's work again from what he did for a long time. But this is all about kayak fishing tonight, and I wanted to bring Tim on because Tim is a little bit older than me, just a little bit, and I find myself having problems getting motivated to get out and get fishing and get out and get on the water sometimes, and I wanted to get Tim's mindset on what he does, how he prepares himself, because you know, his equipment, just the things that he does because he's out fishing all the time. And I just wanted to figure out, maybe he could give me a shot at that adrenaline that he uses to get out. But let's bring Tim on, and let's talk all things good kayak fishing. What do you say, brother? Welcome to the show.
Hey, John. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good. Hey, I appreciate you taking a few moments to come online with us tonight and talk. Tim, tell everybody about yourself, where you're from, what the equipment you use, what you fish out of, and just all things that you do to get yourself ready for your events.
Well, I'm from a little town called Clifftop. It's pretty close to Babcock State Park. That's where I grew up. I ended up moving back in with my mom 2 Aprils ago. So that's where I'm at now, permanent, after mom passed away. But I'm 20 minutes from New River, 25 minutes from Summersville, an hour from Sutton. I'm right in the heart of it now. So,
yeah,
I started kayak fishing in 2016. My buddy Matt Ball got me in it. Him and him and Jimmy Kemp. Yeah, they both got me.
Yeah,
they got me into it. I bought a Native Propel 13. I had never sat in a kayak. First time I sat in it is when the RHL guy delivered it to the house, and I sat in it in the garage. But I fish I'll out of Hobie now, and have since
I'll never forget you.
2000. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I'll never forget that New River tournament. There, sandstone going up to Sandstone Falls when you were in that poor boat. And
I'll never forget that either.
That cost you about $900.
I turtled it right below the Sandstone Falls. It was probably a little more than that. I lost 3 rods and reels and my pedal drive.
Okay.
So you figure it out. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was a learning experience. I mean, it's part of it, you know. You always learn by your mistakes. If you don't, you're stupid. So,
there's a little piece of wisdom from Tim Isaacs right there.
There you go, buddy. If you don't learn from your mistakes, there's something wrong somewhere.
Amen.
But, most of my fishing equipment, I make all my rods now. I make a lot of my baits, a lot of jigs and stuff like that. I make myself. Matter of fact, all the fish I caught this past week at the Hobie TOC, I caught on a little jig that I make myself. It served me well. I've caught fish from Lake Dardanelle to Vermont, you know, Lake Champlain. I've caught them north, south, east, and west. But it's all what you got confidence in.
So tell us, I know you have spent a lot of time down in Florida at American Tackle. You were heavy into the American Tackle. Now they're bought out by Mudhole. But are you still using their stuff to build your rods?
Yeah. Yes. Guides wise and handles and reel seats, things like that. Yes, I still use American Tackle stuff. It's I'm still buddies with John Graves, and they put me on their pro staff, and I'm, you know, they pretty much take care of me when it comes to components for my rods. But North Fork Outfitters is where I get my blanks from. They're all designed by Gene Loomis, so they're okay. They're really, I mean, everything I make is pretty, really good. I need to build me a good swim bait rod. I need a really good swim bait rod. I recently started. That's another thing you need to, another little piece of wisdom, try different things. I mean, you know, don't get stuck on one thing, try something different. And I have started using swim baits a little bit. My son Jason, he got me into throwing some swim baits, and we caught several fish and check on it this past week. So I need to build me a new swim bait rod, but I'll have to.
What are your ideas on that, Tim, for your swim bait rod? What are you looking at?
Something on the swim bait rod?
Stiffer blank? Or?
I'd like to have something, I don't know, a medium. I'd like to have a medium heavy with an extra fast tip. Something that I can feel the fish, you know, hit it, but still give them time to suck it in before I, you know, set the hook.
Right.
But so I tried using I can't remember which rod I used this past week, but it seemed like the fish would hit it, but I wasn't giving them time to set the hook. I mean, you know, to suck it in before I set the hook. It's, you know, basically a lot like, you know, throwing a chatterbait or, you know, spinnerbait or something like that. Something you gotta let them suck it in before you feel it to set the hook. So,
okay, that makes sense.
I'll investigate it, but like I said,
so
John, when them guys, you know, when American Tackle Mudhole bought them out, they took the whole staff over with them. They were actually in the same building. American Tackle was in one end of the building and Mudhole's in the other end. So they were pretty much on top of each other anyway. So.
Okay. That makes sense. Hey, so with the swim bait rod, Tim, would you still keep it at about a 7-foot rod, or would you go with a longer rod, or how would that work?
I'm thinking maybe like a 7'4". Most of my rods are 7-foot. I've got one that, well, actually, the rod I use to throw the swim baits with is a Skeet Reese rod. It's a swim bait, Carolina rig swim bait rod is what it's actually marked as. But I just don't like the feel of it. It's heavy. And I don't, you know, at my age, I'll be 67 Friday, John. So,
hey,
at my age,
I knew that. I knew that, buddy. You knew I knew that, right?
Because
we share the same birthday. Yeah, we share the same birthday.
Exactly. But, you grab a rod, you don't think 2 or 3 ounces in a rod makes a difference until you make 5,000 casts with it that day. And, you know, by the time the tournament's over, your arm feels like it's going to fall off. So
yeah,
I like a really a really light rod. So
yeah, I know when we were up at Jackson County there, not this past year, but the year before, when you were showing me your rods that you made, and I had just brought two rods that Jack Gillespie had made for me, and we were comparing mm-hmm. them. And mine, if you remember, they're a lot thinner and a lot smaller. I've always been a medium light guy, and that's right. Probably part of my issues about setting the hook on bigger fish is I ain't got enough backbone. I got to let them right. swallow it. But I don't know. There's something about that medium light that I like, and it may be something due to the fact that you just get tired and like to have something that you don't get tired with.
There you go.
I just ordered from Chris Payne last night, 6 of his 5-inch swim baits that he's making. They're like an extremely large paddle tail, and I'm looking forward to seeing what I can do with those, especially when we make our trips, you know, up to Lake Erie and
right.
later in the summer down on Bluestone and here at Summersville. Hopefully them smallmouth will be aggressive with it.
I know a lot of guys last week were catching them on, some of them were catching them on 4 and 5 inch. And then I couldn't get anything to hit, but like a 3.3 at 2.8, something like that. So I couldn't get him hit a bigger bait. They were always hitting a smaller bait. Now, Jason on, I think it was like Thursday, he started throwing a bigger swim bait and was catching a bigger fish on a bigger swim bait. So,
and you know, you see a lot of videos on YouTube. These guys will talk and they'll preach and they swear by them swim baits. But I guess I'm a quantity over quality guy. I figured if I can catch 30 or 40 fish a day, I'll get five good ones. Where they may throw that swim bait and just get five or six strikes the whole day, and they're going to get, hopefully, get big fish.
Right.
Because it's like that whopper plopper, you know. How many times have we thrown that whopper plopper out there on top water, and then you catch a fish that's 10 inches long on a 8-inch whopper plopper, you know. I don't know. It's pretty cool. Hey, Tim, I'm going to throw up something, and hopefully you can talk to us about this. You got to spend some time last year there. Guys, if you haven't forgotten about us, Paddle and Finn, we're going back to Eastport Marina. Mark these dates and check it out. So if I remember correctly, Tim, you got to walk that stage and was part of the very first fireworks during that event last year, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I think I finished, eighth or ninth, somewhere through there.
Yeah, you and Jeff Sisk were the two West Virginia guys that walked the stage.
Yeah, he was right behind me. We fished basically the same area, too, so that was kind of neat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you went up up the lake where most everybody that I knew was stayed around the Eastport area. What areas did you fish, if you don't care to tell?
I can't remember what the name of it was, John. It was it's an arm that veers off to the left going up the lake. It's a pretty good size arm. I'd rather catch a smallmouth as I would anything. So I looked at that and kind of figured out that there would be some good smallmouth there, and there was.
It's amazing that winter was coming in with over 100 inches of fish with bedded smallmouth. He found some quality bedded fish. Man alive. So, hey, let's talk about, you talked about your rigs, you make your own rods, we talked about those. Now, you said something about you also make your own, you make your hooks or jigs or things like that too, or what kind of?
I make my jigs. Most of my hooks are Mustad. I really like Mustad hooks. Every manufacturer's got a hook for something. You know, I like Gamagatsu's straight shank offset worm hooks. I like Mustad's wide gap hooks for, you know, worm hooks. Everybody's got something different. Matter of fact, I was sitting here tying up I don't know if you can see that or not.
Right there. There it is.
Okay. Well, that's just a wacky hook I use. I make myself. I tie that weed guard on. Those are Mustad hooks. Every manufacturer's got a different hook for a different purpose. So don't get stuck on one hook or one manufacturer.
Right. So do you make your own jigs too? Like, do you melt your?
I melt the lead, pour it on the hooks. I make a little 1/8-ounce ball head jig with a wire weed guard and a bait keeper on it. I tie a real small, nice, thin skirt on it, a little finesse type jig. Last year, I caught several fish on that jig, but this year I might have caught 10 fish on it all season. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know where I just lost confidence in it and didn't throw it as much, but I didn't catch as many fish on it this year as I did the previous year. I got to throwing a lot of stuff this year, Texas rigged with tungsten weights, either 16th or when I fished the Flint River on the Hobie tournament, and I caught my first shoal bass, and then in the tournament I caught a 20 inch and a 21 inch and a 17 inch shoal bass on day two.
Is that Georgia or for Florida?
Georgia. That's the Flint River's. Well, yeah, the Flint River's in, yeah, it's in Georgia.
Okay.
But I changed up. Day one, I had 70 some inches, and Jason and I were floating about a 7 mile stretch of the river, and he caught 80 some inches on day one. And wow, he told me, we got to talking, and he said, "I think your sinker's not big enough, Dad. Your bait's washing over top of the fish." So I went to from an eighth ounce up to a quarter ounce weight, and sure enough, I mean, I caught 97 inches on day two. So
dang,
I think it was 97. I had a 22 inch largemouth, a 21 shoaly, a 20 shoaly, a 17. And or 18 largemouth and 17 smallmouth or shoaly, so whatever that adds up to anyway. But that was the biggest bag of the tournament on day two. So
did you win that big bass pot too?
No, actually I didn't. I don't remember who did win the big bass pot. Somebody had a 23 or something that day, or 20, maybe been 20. I caught a 23 in practice. Last year I caught two 23 inch largemouth in practice. Seemed to can't catch them in the tournament, but I can catch them in practice.
I know how that is, man. So,
but
do you make a Ned Rig hook too? Do you have a Ned Rig style hook that you build?
Yeah, I do. Guy by the name of Michael Bury sells a offset. It's a wide gap offset worm hook for jigs, and I make it. It's that Midwest style jig head. It's just a little button head, like what Z-Man sells, that little shroom head. But
right,
I can make them. I think I make them up to quarter ounce, maybe, or no, maybe even bigger than that. No, I think it is quarter ounce, but I took a mold and modified it to where it fit it. So
that's cool.
But yeah, about every mold I think last count I had 90 some molds. So I got a mold for about everything, really. But every one of them I've modified for some reason, because I always like a bigger hook in something than what they want in them. So
yeah. Hey, well, when you get back home, man, I'd love to come over one day and shoot some video of you making some hooks and share it with the guys here and gals. That'd be cool, because I know I've shot video with Chris doing plastics, but
right.
I know you and I talked about you building a rod on one of the shows in the past.
I've got one sitting in my tire right now. It's got the guide. The guides are spaced and ready to be tied, so you can do that too.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let's plan that. I'm sure the folks out here would be really interested in seeing how what it takes to and the equipment and what you have to do. I know it's probably very time consuming and you got to be very patient when you're wrapping and stuff, but
you do in a way, but you can, if you get on it, you could build a good rod. Well, not counting gluing the handle on, you could build a good rod in a day's time, easy. So,
are you going to try that new American Tackle grip that they just won their award for this year? Light?
What is it called? I do use one of their grips and their handles. It's a one piece handle. I really like it. It's really easy to use. I mean, as far as building a rod with, and they're lightweight. The only thing I really have a problem with is they're cold. If you're fishing in cold weather, man, that carbon fiber is cold. It's nothing like cork, you know, cork or EVA foam or anything like that. Well, those are not, you know, they're not cold like that carbon is.
Yeah. All of my handles are like an X grip. What Jack uses for ours. So I like the way it feels. Cool. Well, hey, let me run this real quick and then we'll be right back, guys.
Z-Pro Lithium, serious power at 12, 24, and 36 volt applications. Bluetooth capable. Go to Z-Pro Lithium for more. Z-Pro Fishing, American-made marine applications and locally manufactured soft plastics. Visit ZebroFishing.com. Feel free kayaks, paddle, pedal, or power. There's something for everyone. Check out FeelFreeUS.com. Yak Gadget, American-made kayak fishing accessories and gear. Go to YakGadget.com for your rigging needs. Ace Adventure Resort, West Virginia's number one destination for hiking, biking, ziplining, whitewater rafting, and more. Check out acecraft.com. Westbrook Supply Company, Georgia's premium supplier for all your kayak rigging supplies and fishing equipment. Go visit westbrooksupply.com.
All right, Tammy, we're back. Hey, so what's for dinner there, brother? Peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Breadsticks and Yingling Flight. Have you tried the new Yingling Flight? It's pretty good stuff. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories.
No, I don't have any Yinglings. I got a bunch of craft beer and some Sam Adams and stuff in the fridge right here. But none of that. So I mean, maybe we'll have to have a after-hours special with some Yinglings, brother.
That can happen.
I'm sure. We definitely got to, now that the off season is on us, so we can get together and strategize for 2024. So, talking about 2024, guys and gals out there, I want to see some comments from you on what you guys are thinking about the schedules. Tammy and I were talking here in advance, and we were looking at the schedules for Bassmaster and the Hobie BOS. And we also, I pulled up, let me get back on the right screen here. I pulled up the KBF screen on Fishing Kios. And Tim and I were looking at what they've got up. They got Lake Murray starting off in the national championship. Then they got Gunnersville, Wheeler. They've got Santee Cooper, Chickamauga, and Huntsville, Alabama, on their schedule. So, should be interesting for what we've got to go on this year. So, Tim, any of those stick out to you? What I know you, like, at the introduction that I talked about to everybody that, you know, you're a traveling man. You're fishing somewhere every weekend. What are you looking at there for your 2024 schedule?
Well, the Hobie schedule, the Harris chain, I really like going to Florida that time of year. Gets that cabin fever out of you.
Right.
And I'd like I said, I'd really like to fish the Sam Rayburn because that's kind of a bucket list lake. Logan Martin, I've fished it before. It's a really good spotted bass lake, as is Norman. Norman's a good one. The Wright Patman Lake, I don't know much about it. It's in Texarkana, Texas. And then Cayuga, for sure. It's a 12-hour drive, but I love that place.
Now, where is that at?
It's in New York. It's one of the Finger Lakes in New York.
Is it like going back toward the eastern part of New York?
It's about, No, it's the western part. It's not very far, actually, from Erie.
Okay. Well, that may have to – when is that? That's in June?
That's in June. They have a season up there. It's, first of June, you can't fish for smallmouth or bass, any type, before the first of June, I think. So, then, like I said, Saginaw River, I won't make that one because of a family obligation. And Chick, I'm sure I'll go to Chick. I'm liking Chick more than I do Gunnersville anymore.
Well, it's pretty much the same type of fishing, isn't it? It's like grass.
It's basically the same type, but there's some places that I fell in love with. I got two places that I fish 90% of the time. So,
okay.
But then the
Bassmasters. Champs,
the Bassmasters, Murray for sure, too, because I love Murray. Murray, I've done really well on Murray. I've cashed a check there several times. Possum Kingdom, that's a long ways away from West Virginia.
From all of us over here on the Eastern Seaboard, that's a drive. So.
Yeah. and like, Gunnersville's always an option. And then the Susky, I really like fishing the Susky too. It's an amazing fishery. And then the Caddo Lake in Bistineau, that'll be a good one there in October. That'll be a real good one.
So unfortunately, I can't pull up the dates. I don't believe I can anyway, with the KBF.
For the KBF.
Let me see if I click on one of these, if it'll
pop up. If you click on it, it should pop up.
So this one here, it did. Yeah, 3/2. So that's a week after the.
Right. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. I'll be gone home 2 weeks. That stretch.
You may have to. That cabin rental, you may have to start reaching out to get guys recruited to go 2 weeks with you on that one. Or you can camp somewhere.
Yeah, we usually do. The Murray one, there's I've got the same house 3 years in a row, I guess it is. It's a really nice place. It's right on the lake. I mean, you can walk down and fish off a dock if you'd like. And we've done really well up that cut that house is on too.
I went down six, with Steve Gunner.
Yeah, I played sixth or seventh there last year. So it's a good cut.
Yeah, I was down there the year Rick Garavaglia won that one tournament.
Right. He won on day one and I won on day two. On day two. Yeah, I was third on day two.
So, that's outstanding. Yeah. So that definitely. So let's see. That looks like there's a 2 week time frame that you'll be there. Let's go back a page here. We know there's a national championship. And then the Gunnersville tournament is in April.
It's April 6th. Yeah, April 6th, 7th.
That'll be a tournament. Gunnersville for Bassmasters is in May, so there's a little over a month time frame. That'll change that water quite a bit.
May, the May tournament. I'd much rather fish the April tournament. That's normally
spawn or just coming off spawn from then down there
in May, probably. Yeah, they'll be coming off
in April. They should be moving to the bed, shouldn't they?
Well, they should be pretty much depends on what end of the lake you're on, whether they'll be, already on the bed or just getting ready to go on the bed.
Okay, let's see here. Then we've got,
I think I'm already registered for the Murray and the National Championship, so I'm definitely fishing those anyway.
You got Gunnersville and Wheeler. We just looked at that. Santee Cooper. Now, that's a lake I fished for a lot of years. Only problem with that, good time frame, May 18th.
I don't think it's a good time frame myself, but
no, it's about a month and a half late. It should be in April down there.
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
We always would go down, me and about 10 other guys were in a cabin there on the Canal Lakes. Mm-hmm. And we would fish both lakes off. But, you know, it's bass boat. It's easy to do that.
Yeah, right.
All those different, you know, got the Black's camp. You got the Angels. You go back over with where the old canals were back when the slaves worked. Right. And the Angels. Now, I tell you guys, if y'all are not familiar with that section of Santee Cooper, that's where the dinosaurs are. And I'm talking dinosaurs. You know, you're talking 10, 11 foot beasts, 12 feet. I was back in there in a kayak back in those cuts, and I come across one where it looked like two of them had gotten a fight and killed the other one. And the one that was dead was probably a 10 or 11 foot. And I was like, so I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could.
There's some good, you know, but knock on wood, them gators haven't bothered me. I've fished a lot of places. Seminole's got a lot of them in it.
The angler down in Florida by the name of Jason Denise. Have you ever met him?
I know him. Jason was
fishing 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, and had about an 8-footer chasing his spinnerbait, and he was reeling it in. The gator didn't turn off like they normally do when you're reeling them in. It ran right up on top of his kayak and knocked him out of the boat.
Well, you knew. Go ahead.
The guy that was with him said he thought he was Jesus after that because he walked on water.
Water. Well, you knew Jody Queen had one bite the front of his kayak. I mean,
on Okeechobee, wasn't it?
He kept that thing for a long time. I mean, it had puncture holes, but if you get between them and their young on the bank, you might have a problem. But most of the time, they're as scared of you as you are of them. Like Dardanelles, they're really bad on Dardanelles.
Now, where's that at?
That's in Arkansas. Or is that Arkansas? Oh. Yeah, I think pretty sure it's Arkansas, yeah.
Well, I was down at Santee. We were staying at Black's Camp about 6-8 years ago. And I had my fuel free 11.5. Jack and all those guys were down there in their big bass boats and they'd take off. I stayed back in the back cuts and at Black's. I go back into the cypresses and hide back in there. And
right.
He came out. It's like the last day I've been fishing back in there for like 4 days. And he came in for lunch and I'd come in for lunch. He's like, "Hey man, did you see that big gator this morning?" And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah." He said, "Back in that cut, we went back in there before you went back in there. And we saw one was about 11 foot, 12 foot back here. Cruising across back into there." He's like, "We was wondering if you saw it." And I'm like, "No, No, I hadn't seen anything that big because I'm sure if I'd saw it back here, I would have stayed around the docks.
There you go. Yeah, it's in Russellville, Arkansas. That's where I thought it was.
Okay.
There's one cut there on it. You can go up in there just about any time and see 25 to 30 gators. Couple of them pretty good ones, but.
Yeah. Brian, Tim has said that he will be there, but Tim, you can let him know.
Yeah, I'll definitely, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah.
Heath, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Heath.
He's a hammer right there. I'm surprised he is. He needs to get back out, get out there on that those trails that you run and see what he's made of with those national guys. So, but yeah, Brian brought up Del Hala. We talked about it, guys. If you missed it, Tim cashed a check there last year. He showed up. You showed up the day before. You fished one day.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I got to practice one day. Yeah. But I need to go down and investigate a little further there.
That's the one thing that we do. We go down and spend the week. And did you stay down on the houseboats or did you camp out your truck?
No, I rented a motel room.
Okay. That's the one thing. If you go down this year and you decide to make the week of it, you gotta, you can leave your vehicle, leave your kayak in your truck if you decide to go up elsewhere, not fish all around the Eastport. But staying down on the houseboats is a lot of fun.
Well, there's a ramp right there at Eastport too, isn't there? That you can put in right there, at Eastport. I thought there was
right there in front. Right down there by the. It's a nice little resort. Yeah, so this looks like a good year for the national trails for us, Tim, because everything.
Yeah, I think it will. Close. Yeah, there's a couple. Like I said, the Possum Kingdom, what was the name of that one in Texarkana? Sam Rayburn Possum Kingdom and. Those are going to be the Caddo, Bistano, that's about a 12, 13-hour drive for me also. But yeah, the Wright-Patman Lake, it and Sam Rayburn and Possum Kingdom will be the most, the furthest ones away, really. The rest of them will
You got me really interested in that Cayuga Lake event, but unfortunately I'm always up at Lake Erie that week during the Memorial weekend. If it's that could be the weekend after, but I'm at Lake Erie fishing with Buddy Vance and the crew that go up there for a cabin up there.
Cayuga's we were really surprised the amount of big largemouth that was in it. Jody and I fished, we fished one place up there, pretty good size cut. And, man, there was some good largemouth in there.
You ever been over to Pima Tuning?
No, I haven't.
Kayak Anglers of Pennsylvania puts on a tournament there. They used to put on like the Battle of the Border where it'd be Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia would all. I fished a couple of those tournaments over there. that lake really surprised me with the size of the largemouth in there as well.
Right.
But it's grassy. I mean, it's got a lot of grass in there. So.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that far north would have that much grass in it, but it does.
Exactly. I mean, it must shoot up quickly. Yeah, Tim. So this looks like could be a pretty good year for us. I'm definitely going to go down to Lake Norman in April. I have never fished Chickamauga, but I've thought about it over the past couple of years because of the events down there.
Like I say, it's really not a bad drive. It's for me, it's it's 5.5 hours for me. It's a really an easy drive. I mean, I just jump on 77, go down, hit 81, and hit 40 over to 75, and you're there. So,
yep.
It's a pretty good drive. So,
so show season's getting ready to come up upon us here in the next few months. Basically, you'll be fishing down in Florida in January. Are you going to go to the East Tennessee Fishing Show in mid-January, or you got any shows you're going to go to?
I would like to go to that one sometime. Maybe this year I can get to it. When is it? Do you have a date?
I think it's the 16th or something like that, I believe. 15th, 16th, 17th. Let's look at it. I'm telling January. You, Tim, if you go to that, you better bring about $500 or $600 at minimum with you, because that is not the typical show where you just go look at people that sell trips and stuff like that. There's actual vendors that come here and sell stuff, and it's a great show. I'm looking it up here. Let's see. I've worked at the last, since 2016 with Frontier Outdoors there. They always do a booth. Let's see about. So if you want to look that up, folks, it's easttennesseefishingshow.com. I should have looked it up on my web browser, but I'm just using my phone. Look at the dates. Show me the dates.
Did you say it was East Tennessee?
Yeah, it's in Knoxville. It's the 25th through the 28th, so you'll be down in Florida. You'll miss it. I thought it was the third week.
January. Okay.
Yeah, it's in January. It's normally the same week that they do the Charleston Civic Center, the hunting and fishing show in Charleston.
I haven't been to that one in a couple of years.
Yeah, I stopped going because all it is basically, you know, got guides from all over the country.
Guides, smaller country. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm like, I want to go to a show that's, you know, guys are bringing out their stuff from last year they're trying to get rid of, and they're bringing out the stuff that they're getting ready to sell for this year, so you can get a good look. You know, and that's one thing. East Tennessee Fishing Show, man, they had the, you know, size of my basement here was one store just had fishing rods for sale where they were selling them for like three for $100, you know.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, buddy, I appreciate you being on the show tonight. I know you. I'm keeping you away from your cold drink and your yummy refreshment dinner.
Well, I ate at the plant about 4 o'clock or so. So I just wanted to grab something light when I got back here. So I'm done with it. I think I might have one more cheese stick to go. So I'll eat that.
Boy, they're going to be glad when you leave there, that's for sure. That plumbing will never be the same with beer and cheese.
Well, I'm a cheese guy. I've always loved cheese.
Amen.
But I'm getting to the age where the lactose intolerance is starting to kick in. It don't like me very well. So.
Well, you know, that was one of the things I wanted to bring you on the show about. Is that, like we were talking pre-show. It's like, you know, we both got birthdays coming up on Friday, and you know, I'm gonna be 58, and it's getting hard. Like I was telling you earlier, you know, when I see the forecast, it's gonna be 40 degrees and raining. I'm like, man, I don't want to go out in that weather. But you know, and you were like, man, I get excited. I'm ready to go. You know, Now, you were talking. You hate to drive. You don't hate the weather and the fishing.
I don't mind. You know, I don't really mind the driving anymore. It used to be when I was younger, I hated to drive. It just drove me nuts.
I had to drive anyway. What keeps you motivated to do what you do week in and week out?
Well, fishing with my son, fishing with Jason a lot now. You know, that's a big motivator because I really enjoy fishing with him. I don't know. I just like doing good at my age. You know, I feel like if I don't fish or if I don't kayak or if I just lay around, I'm gonna die. I mean, if I don't stay active, you know, I want to stay active because the shape I'm in right now. I mean, yeah, I'm in pretty decent shape. You know, I've had open heart surgery. I've got a hip replaced. I have my left hip replaced. And I just, you know, if I stop doing what I'm doing, I think I'll just freeze up and wither away to nothing. So I want to stay busy. I want to stay, you know, active, and fishing out of a kayak has really helped me actually. So.
Well, look, like you were saying, you got called back to work to go do stuff on some equipment where you're at now, and you've lost your certifications. You can't even test it or do the work. You can do the work, but they, you know.
Right. It's rigging work. Is, you know, I've lost my certification as far as operating a crane. I can still chase a hook and, you know, rig stuff to lift a level and stuff like that, but. You got to be certified to operate a crane, and that's a good thing, really. I mean, when I operated a crane,
sure,
it was probably the most.
Yeah.
It was the most stressful job I ever had in my life.
I can imagine.
70,000
pounds. A
simple
mistake could cost. Yeah.
Exactly.
$1 million.
Yeah, or somebody's life. That's the
right,
main.
Right, right.
But
right.
It, you know, I enjoy doing what, even, you know, now, just, you know, going back, seeing all the guys I worked with and chasing the hook around. I don't mind that. I'm having fun right now.
Well, I appreciate you hanging out with us and
no
talking.
No problem.
Fishing. And hey, check this out. Who is this guy? I believe you talked about him earlier.
My man.
Jody Queen.
Jody.
That's right. Anyway, brother, again, we appreciate you. Nothing but love for you. And enjoy your time there over on the western side of the state, and be safe coming home. And make sure you reach out to me when you get back, and maybe we can schedule a couple more shows with your rod building and stuff like that.
Oh, well, I'll have to straighten up. I'll have to straighten up a place in the garage to get you in there, but we can do that.
Yeah, I hope that wasn't a pun about how rotund I've got here.
No. It's just how junked up my garage is right now. So
that's a nice comeback, brother. Appreciate you. Hey, you have a great night, man. Hey, nothing but love from my boy Tim. I appreciate him answering the call when I reached out to him to jump on here. He's a great guy. Guys, go check it out. I got his link to his Facebook page on the description for the show. So go check out Tim. Look at his photos. Follow along with him. And do what you do. Anyway. Going to sign off here. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me for a little bit tonight. Nothing but love. And always wear your PFD. For us folks here on the eastern seaboard and north of me here in West Virginia, it's getting cold. Water's cold. Make sure you wear the appropriate clothing. Dress warm. Dress for the spill. And always wear your PFD.